I'm Patricia Camilleri, Director of the Communications and Alumni Relations Office here at the University. In this series called Research Matters, I shall be discussing a wide range of research projects in which our academics are currently involved. With me in the studio today is engineer Dr. Kenneth Camilleri from the Department of Systems and Control Engineering here at the University. He's come to talk to us today about his work on an EU project called BioPattern and also about some other aspects of his research. Welcome, Dr. Camilleri.
Thank you.
This project, BioPattern, falls, I gather, under a sort of general field of biomedical engineering. Could you tell us something about this whole area of study?
Yes, biomedical engineering is a burgeoning area of research and application where engineers come, in a sense, to the aid of medicine to provide instruments and equipment that will assist physicians in their daily or specialized work. It covers a wide area of investigations, starting from biomechanics, right through medical electronics, going right through biomedical signal processing, signal analysis, which is our main strength and research focus at the moment, in fact.
So here you've got an example of two different fields of study, if you like, the medical side and engineering sort of coming together and sort of mutually helping each other.
That's correct.
To move forward.
That's correct. In fact, this is one could say an interdisciplinary area, which requires the joint collaboration of both people from the technical engineering implementation, technological implementation side, as well as clinicians or the health professionals. Clearly, most engineers would not be, by virtue of their basic training, proficient in clinical aspects or biological aspects. Conversely, medical people will not be at all cognizant of what goes on in the equipment they use daily. And we, as is the case in most advanced countries where this research is pursued actively, we recognize that this synergy is important to advance the healthcare in various aspects. One can mention simply MRI, magnetic resonance imaging, which is used daily by physicians, by radiologists, but which originated from a discovery in physics, which eventually led to an invention of the MRI equipment. Probably no doctor would have thought about this, and originally even the physicists might not even have thought about the revolution that their discovery would have brought about in the medical field. So this synergy, this collaboration, brings about, I would dare say, miracles, in fact. And it is something which I look forward in developing further in locally in Malta. Because so far, we have a very distinct way of training engineers from training medical people, from training any other profession. We do not really have a track record so far in interdisciplinary training and education, although the university is looking at these things and some courses have been of late introduced. This is one aspect, one area which we can actually develop very fruitfully, in fact.
Going back to the BioPattern project, where did it originate?
Yes, BioPattern, which is a short acronym name standing in for a much longer name for the project, which basically involves the application of computational intelligence to signals obtained from the human body, which we call in short biosignals. So the origin of BioPattern, of the project BioPattern, which was created by the University of Plymouth in the UK, came about because there were a number of centers of excellence in Europe, as well in the US and the Far East, who came together, brought together their experience in analyzing signals acquired from the human body, in order to write, implement computer programs, which we call algorithms, to analyze these signals and extract intelligence from the signals, which may be useful, for example, to diagnose certain diseases, perhaps even be used during surgical operations or other medical interventions. BioPattern actually was divided into a number of work packages, including involving, say, cancer research, brain research, and various other aspects of the human body or human pathologies, one may say. We were particularly concerned with the brain research because we have, over the past 7-8 years, developed quite a good body of knowledge and expertise in the analysis of brain signals from the scalp of the head. And that was our participation in BioPattern, in fact.
We are partners, I presume, in this project. The coordinator is the University of Plymouth, you said. How does the University of Malta manage to get in on a project like that?
It is not always easy to get into these projects unless you try and coordinate them yourself, which is obviously a very difficult task. I might say bedeviled by a lot of administrative hurdles. So we normally prefer the route, the partner route, because it is more effective, efficient for us. However, getting into these projects requires a lot of networking with international colleagues and experience as well. We got into the project because we had contacts in the UK, and people in the UK knew about our work. So that's where the experience comes in, because we have been doing this work beforehand. Usually using seed money from the university research funds. And this launched us in a position where we could internationally have a certain position, if not be respected as peers, perhaps initially, but recognized as potential contributors. We, in fact, did contribute. We have published a number of papers, and in the outcome of the project eventually was not only publications, new ideas, graduate students, but also new contacts, which will help us develop new research proposals in the future, and hopefully also allow us to participate in other consortia, research consortia in the future.
Of course, this is a time-consuming effort, really, on the part of the researchers. And I did say this to another of my interviewees recently, and I said, well, it must take up a lot of your time. And her answer, of course, was, well, you know, I'm a researcher, that's what I do. And I think that that's an important thing to understand, that this is what researchers do. They spend a lot of time researching.
That's right. If I may, actually, I will put in a small parenthesis here. Unfortunately, the university and lectures at the university are seen simply as a glorified high school, perhaps. And that is a completely distorted view of a university, in fact, and even of this university. Because in this university, we produce a lot of material, research material, new material, in all aspects of studies, not only in engineering or biomedical or biosignal processing. And this is the strength of our university. And there are problems, as there are in any other university, as in any other industry or enterprise, but we try and balance our research activities where we can be placed in the frontier of knowledge, and our lecturing duties, which will involve this transfer of knowledge to our students. Usually our students are at a younger age, at an initial stage, where we usually give them mostly standard material. But giving them the standard material through the eye and through the experience of a researcher who is actually working in the front of knowledge makes a whole difference. Therefore, we are not simply teaching the students the material they need to know, but we are giving them this added dimension that there is something beyond, there's more to say, and this comes through. Hopefully, in our lectures, I trust it does come through. I sometimes do active effort to get it through. Sometimes you have to, of course, to get on with it and have the syllabus covered as well. But yes, to come to your question, it involves a lot of time, a lot of effort, and therefore our time has got to be divided between our teaching duties, and which also incidentally involves supervising final dissertations in undergraduate degrees, postgraduate degrees, and PhDs, which is part of our research, but it's also part of our tuition activity, because we are patiently taking care of our even doctoral students, guiding them, giving them a lot of slack, because they need to learn how to do their research. And then again, we've got to do a lot of research, administrative work, which will allow us to get into these projects, secure funding, and identify niche areas. Because, as I was telling you earlier, we have to be innovative even in our strategies. We got into this project, this BioPattern project, because we had been doing work in biomedical engineering using university seed money before we went into the project. So we had to have the vision to identify this as a promising, as an interesting area, write proposals, find research funding sources, get the funding, get the students, and this is all prior to getting into these projects. And once you get a certain degree of knowledge and experience in the area and see that this is worth going into further, then we can look into these EU projects, local research funding, perhaps even commercial, industrial funding, which is, perhaps you can speak about this later, which is a bit more lacking in Malta. But there are industries who will be interested and willing to get into this research cycle and gain benefit from this process.
Before we move on to talk a little bit more in detail about the BioPattern project, I'd like to remind listeners that this is Research Matters on Campus FM, and this is Patricia Camilleri talking to Dr. Kenneth Camilleri from the Department of Systems and Control Engineering here at the University. Dr. Camilleri, a little bit more detail perhaps about the BioPattern. In our previous conversations, I really became fascinated. Obviously, I'm not going to understand the technical details, but certainly the concepts that you're dealing with are very, very topical and extremely fascinating.
As I was hinting earlier on, BioPattern is mainly concerned with the signals we acquire from the body. So our work is mainly concerned with an area of engineering and IT called signal processing, where we acquire signals, usually using some electronic instrumentation, and then design methods, algorithms, which are then implemented usually in some code, computer code programs, that is, and we can process this data numerically to acquire some results. So here you see a beautiful synergy between what today we are seeing as engineering and IT, which in my opinion is a synergy of technology, actually. And this is what we're doing. We are acquiring these biomedical signals from the body and processing them to extract this intelligence. And that is our main purpose. Now, our area, our focus is mainly on brain signals. So what we are doing, what we have been doing and are doing at the moment, is we are acquiring signals from the scalp of the head, and these are called electroencephalography, EEG, that is. This data, these signals, are processed for various purposes. For example, we've been processing these signals to, for example, detect the onset of certain brain diseases like dementia or epilepsy, or the presence of certain diseases like epilepsy. One of our recent interesting work was actually to study these signals and identify whether young children have got mild epilepsy, which is usually difficult to detect by a physician who would be looking, or by a neurologist who would be looking at the EEG data manually, visually with his eyes. But with our processing methods, we can give a certain indication that this child may have this mild epileptic disease. We may call it a disease. As you see, I'm not a clinician, so my clinical words may not be completely correct, and I admit that, and I have no problem with that. This is why we need to work closely with clinicians. So this was the scope of our work and the main area. Another area which is not in BioPattern, but which preceded our work in BioPattern and continues at the moment, regarding EEG signal processing, is to process the signals to identify the brain's mental state. In a sense, to identify what you're thinking.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah, sounds a bit dangerous, one may say, as well. But it's not as as dangerous as it might seem, because what you're looking at is what a person is thinking in terms of action. So that you want to do a left movement, right movement, if you move your hand or your foot or your tongue. And these are all things that can be used definitely in the rehabilitation area to help people who have communication problems or have difficulties in using computers or machines or even in manipulating their environment. Because with their thoughts, we could build equipment that would allow their thoughts to be analyzed and their action thoughts to be translated into action. So, for example, a paraplegic may move his wheelchair forward or backward or left or right, and depending on what he wants to do, simply by thinking.
The people who are working on developing these theories, obviously it's not, you know, Dr. Kenneth Camilleri on his own.
No.
You need to have a team of people, I suppose. Postgraduate students, postdoc people as well. What is the importance, really, of having postgraduate students working on a project such as this?
Yes, these projects themselves give us, in general, us in Malta, us in the university, the opportunity, actually, to identify research areas, research, concrete research projects, that can be tackled by even our students. And this is the point I was coming to. So, and may provide also funding for these students. So it is an opportunity for our graduates, and those graduates from the first degree, to embark on postgraduate degrees at master's level or doctoral level, possibly acquire funding through these projects, so it will help them get through this process in the lack of any salary, and perform research which is of international value and recognized at international level, and usually working with partners abroad, which is a very enriching experience for our postgraduate students. So definitely this is one of the methods how we can increase the opportunities for our young people to acquire postgraduate degrees and particularly postgraduate research degrees. Of course, the story should not end there, because if someone gets a postgraduate degree and never exploits this research potential which that person would have developed, it's practically a waste. And this is one of my main concerns, in fact. I would like to see the environment more, to be more receptive to this research potential in our people. On the other hand, the number of people taking up research as a profession, you know, one could say, so starting by doing a degree in research, a PhD, is still rather low for various reasons. Opportunities themselves are hard to come by. The government has been running this MGSS, Motor Governance Scholarship Scheme, which has been helping a number of people. But again, the numbers are still small. The number of projects we have are numerous in themselves, but the number of people available at the university to run these projects are still limited. And there is a limited amount of students you can take, actually, because you have to give your time to these students. So we have a situation where we need to boost the number of postgraduate students, both at the total level, but even more, I would say, at the research level, and give them the opportunity, create the opportunity for these people to be employed in research in the international arena. We have the concept, there is the concept of both postdocs, which you have mentioned. That is, somebody gets a PhD and usually employs himself, finds employment, usually in a university or research institute, to continue performing research, specifically research, on the back of his PhD degree. Now, this opportunity is not widely available in Malta. It may be available under certain circumstances. For example, if you have funding, you can employ a postdoc. But they are far few and far between, which is a problem, because think about the situation where a young person goes in to do a PhD, he's or she's losing a good salary. These are people who would have gone into industry and most likely earned a very good salary even on their first degree graduation. And they're doing a PhD, not even earning a salary. Then they get their degree, and what do? If they return back to their professional practice, it's a waste of their research potential. And we are losing out. So I would like to see more opportunities for these people. And this involves a collaboration, a strategic collaboration between the state, the university, and the private enterprise. And those people who drive new enterprises in Malta, I'm specifically referring to, for example, Malta Enterprise here, which is the main government body which seeks to bring over foreign investment, for example, foreign direct investment. I would like to see a closer collaboration between these partners to create doctorates, PhDs, keep them active in research, even after they get their PhD, create employment opportunities in research, in private industry, by attracting foreign direct investment in research, or in development, high-end development, so that we create this kind of cycle. We create PhD students who find institutional employment. Imagine if we could actually employ these people as postdocs in our university. Imagine the boost they will give us. It will create actually a labor supply, a research labor supply. So when a foreign company comes along and needs these PhD students, these doctoral students, it will find this available. At the moment, this is not the case. If a company comes along, and we've had people coming here at university, because what enterprise usually brings these investors here at university to discuss things with us, and they ask us, how many PhDs have you got in this area? How many graduates have you got in this area? PhD graduates. And usually the answer is either one or no or none. And it is not a good sign, it's not a good signal which you send to these foreign investors. So we need to create this kind of a cycle where we've got this labor supply, we make use of this labor supply. And I believe that this will upgrade even our industry.
Another way, perhaps, of funding this kind of research base within the university would be to perhaps exploit some kind of patent or some discovery. It doesn't have to be something terribly important, but it could be something small that could actually create funding that could go back into the university. I know that you feel quite strongly about this issue of commercialization, doing the research. What do you do with the research information at the end of the day?
Commercialization is important, not only for the sake of the funds it generates, but also for the purpose that we are actually transferring our technology to the industry, to market, and in effect to the consumers, to the clients, the people who will use, the end users, who will use the technology. So clearly this aspect is very important. Whether it is our role as researchers to commercialize this, or the university's role to commercialize this, is another question. I hold that the first role of a researcher and of the university is to create knowledge, to be on the front of knowledge and breakthrough. If you don't do that, forget commercialization, forget transfer of technology. So that's where we have to start. So we have to establish that good base, that strong base. People with experience, with dedication, who are reading their work to break through the barrier of knowledge into new ground, who have the, I might say, luxury to spend their time investigating new ground, which more often than not will lead to dead ends, because this is the nature of research. One person once said that if you are commercializing more than 20% of what you're doing, then you're not in research. Because if you commercial more than 20%, what you're doing is not groundbreaking. It must be something else. It could be development, it could be innovation, but not research. So research involves groundbreak. And of course, one of our roles is to publish and tell people what we're doing. Now, there are ways how you can protect what you're doing. You can, of course, patent what you're doing before you publish, so you're protected. But obviously, patenting involves a lot of legal administrative work, is costly, is expensive in its own right. Putting aside whether the university should actually patent or commercialize, because this depends on the application, on a case-by-case basis, in actual fact. What I think should be the case is an industry whose role is to commercialize, because that is how the industry makes its profit, that is seeking to commercialize these things. The question which I put and leave partially unanswered is whether our industry is at that stage. There is the potential. In my opinion, we need to invest more in the possibilities for our local industry to be able to take up this technology. and to bring in industry that has the role of doing this thing. There are institutions abroad, companies abroad, that can actually commercialize these ideas, that are willing to come to universities, take ideas, and make money out of them. Invest in them, take the risk, and if it succeeds, they make a lot of money, but university also will have its share. And this will, of course, give us the potential to fund postdocs, to fund more students, and keep the cycle going. That's why earlier I emphasized the necessity of the local state bodies to look actively into this aspect, the commercial arm. Many complain that the university has poor links with industry. I myself have got other projects, not in biomedical, but other projects in collaboration with industry, funded projects with industry, so whether the university has poor links with industry or not, I leave in the air. I myself do collaborate with industry. However, point is, I think, that the university has a specific role to create knowledge, to seek new pastures, new knowledge pastures. The other role of commercialization is really elsewhere. Now, we can facilitate that, we can create mechanisms, we can go out, but there has to be that other arm in the country. And bodies, government bodies, whose job is to actually create these enterprises, or bring them over, are and should be looking at these fair.
Thank you very, very much, Dr. Kenneth Camilleri, for coming to the studio to talk about BioPattern, which is clearly an extremely worthwhile project, which has finished this year, I gather.
That's right.
And also to talk about your ideas about how we should create this synergy with industry and try and look at the different roles of the different stakeholders in Malta.
If you would like further details about the University of Malta's research projects or any other information, please access our website at www.um.edu.mt. Do join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.